We're coming to the ninth commandment. You find it in the same passage of scripture that we've been looking at these Sabbath days. We're turning to Exodus chapter 20 as we come to the ninth commandment in verse 16. The ninth commandment in our English is nine words, and they are important. And let us remember it's standing in equal power to every other commandment that God has given. And what this commandment has to say is of vital importance. And I know that as we read it, as we study it together, it will search out our hearts. It has much to say to us as we think of what the scripture teaches. And we think even of what the Westminster Divines set forth as you study it in the Westminster Confession of Faith, what this commandment really means. Let us hear the word of God as we have it here in Exodus 20, verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. This commandment, as you can see, has to do with the tongue. And it is certainly significant that God has directed two of the Ten Commandments that have to say something about the tongue of man. The third commandment teaches us how we are to talk to God and how we are to talk about God. The ninth commandment is teaching us how we are to talk about other people and the respect that we ought to have. The larger catechism, as we have it, and you have probably the booklet form, but as you have it, in the Westminster Confession of Faith, gives over 50 lines to the explanation of this commandment, to tell us what it means, to tell us what is forbidden in this commandment, to tell us what is required in this commandment, no less than 50 lines. And then you put that together with the six full pages as you just deal with the commandment here, six pages that give the explanation, the Bible references, and what the Westminster Divines believed that this commandment really taught. The Apostle James directs us in the subject of the tongue of man, calling it the little member. And of course it is a little member. It is one of the smallest members of the human body, but it is capable of doing the greatest damage. A little bit in the mouth of a horse can turn about their whole body. And a great ship can be turned by a very small helm. That is the wheel that controls the rudder. And James uses these analogies to teach us something that is very vital about the little member. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Just a little fire, that's the tongue, but it can create a great fire, and it can cause immense damage. We grew up with the little saying, and maybe we used it to encourage our children, sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt you. And I think all of us have used that. We have tried to use it well and with meaning and with application. But it is a lie. It is not true. The words of man, the names that we say, what we say about other people can cause the greatest amount of damage. James tells us that the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. He illustrates the unruliness and the uncontrollableness by saying, every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of what? Deadly poison. Augustine, one of our great church fathers, he said, the tongue inflicts greater wounds than the sword. Thomas Watson, the great Puritan, He said, the wounds of the tongue no physician can heal. He goes on to say, as it is a sin against this commandment to raise a false report of another, so it is to receive a false report before we have examined it. He that raises a slander carries the devil in his tongue, and he that receives it carries the devil in his ear. We ought to read more of the great Puritans, shouldn't we? The ninth commandment has special reference to the subject of slander. And the Bible is very, very clear about this. Unmistakably clear. Solomon deals with the subject in his wise sayings. I think in the notes on your announcement sheet I've given to you the reference there in Proverbs. First of all, in chapter 10 and verse 18. He that hideth hatred with his lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. That's what God calls it. There's no way you can mistake the language of the Bible here. He's a fool in the sight of God. In the next chapter, chapter 11, verse 9, and hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. And there's many other verses we could turn to, but one other example is chapter 25 and verse 18. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. And the tongue is used in this evil way. As a maul to beat. As a sword that cuts. And as an arrow that pierces. So says the word of God. There is a children's hymn that we sometimes sing. Oh, what can little lips do to praise the King of Heaven? The little lips can praise and pray and gentle words of kindness say, such grace to mine be given. And this is certainly a grace that we should seek after. A grace that we should pray for often. That we should covet earnestly before God. Christians usually have little difficulty overcoming what we would call the major sins. And it's just you and I that call them the major sins. Perhaps the obvious sins, the recognized sins, like some of the ones that we have already covered in the Ten Commandments. And so they will speak about profanity. Will not take the name of the Lord in vain. Wouldn't do that. Or adultery. Will not commit adultery. Certainly the act of adultery. Although we've looked at what the heart can do. Or we will not be involved in robbery. We will not steal, as the scripture tells us. And we notice that there were many ways to steal. But usually on the surface of it, Christians will say, well, I don't do those things. I would not be guilty of profanity or adultery or robbery. But one area where many fail, and it may not be an exaggeration to say, in fact, it might be the absolute truth to say, an area where we all fail in some degree is in the misuse of the tongue. God's people can be guilty of tongue sins. Now, the ungodly do not know any better. We may well expect to hear all kinds of language abuse from those who are strangers to the grace of God. But we ought to know better if we are the Lord's. He has changed us. He has transformed us. He has made us new creatures. He has made all things become new, including our speech. And that's why James says, if any man among you seem to be religious. People can seem to be religious because there's a lot of religious activity going on in the life that people can see and observe on the outside. And they seem to be religious. And bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. You know what vain means? It's empty. He hasn't got it at all. If he seems to be religious and he can't bridle his tongue, he's got a vain religion. Speaking of the same mouth, being able to speak words of blessing and cursing at the same time, James said, these things ought not to be so. How can it be? It ought not to be. And so the ninth commandment is to do with the tongue. And it condemns lying, evil speaking, slander, all falsehood, making mischief, false accusations, and all these things. So we're going to look at it under the three headings that you have there in the notes. First of all, the intention of this commandment. What does the Lord want to teach us here? What is the design and the objective of this command? This command of God demands truth in the statements that we make about other people. Our God is a God of truth. It is recorded, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. In Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6, it was said of the Lord Jesus Christ that he was full of grace and truth. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, God instructs us to speak the truth in Ephesians 4 and 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So the tongue is a small member, but it's an important member, and it needs to be guarded and controlled. The psalmist said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle. And he says so particularly, while the wicked is before me. That's the head covering, the bridle, that confines the horse or controls the horse. It includes the head part, the bit, the rein, and is used to restrain, is used to curb. And the psalmist says, I'm going to use the metaphoric bridle just to put in my mouth, that I will be absolutely certain about the things that I say and careful about the things that I say. It's going to curb me. The ninth commandment requires us to promote truth in our conversations and to employ our tongues in a manner that is good towards our neighbor, especially in witness bearing. Witness bearing is to do with bearing witness to our neighbor's life and character, and it's what we say about them. The sixth commandment teaches us to have a respect to our neighbor's life. Thou shalt not kill. The seventh commandment teaches us to have a respect to our neighbor's chastity. Thou shalt not commit adultery. The eighth commandment teaches us to have respect to our neighbor's wealth. And this commandment, the ninth commandment, teaches us to have a respect to our neighbor's good name. The tongue of the Christian is meant to be an organ of God's praise, to honor God, and to speak well at all times. How we need to guard the little member, to take heed to our words, our statements, our conversations, our speeches. Wise words are powerful and influential. The patriarch Job says, how forcible are right words, in Job 6 and 25. Wise words are good. Solomon tells us that pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones, in Proverbs 16 and 24. Wise words are pleasant. Again, Solomon, who has much to say on these things, he said, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bones. Wise words are appropriate. Solomon again, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Proverbs 25, verse 11. Wise words are gracious. We are told that the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. Wise words are comforting. Isaiah said, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Isaiah 50, and verse 4. Do you know that the tongue is a good indicator regarding your health? The doctor will look at your tongue, and from what he sees, he's able to see very often the emergence of disease or things that are wrong in the body. And we can say that the tongue also is a good indicator of our spiritual health. Remember what James said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart. That man's religion is vain, James 1, verse 26. Ernest Rissinger compiled a book, and the book was entitled, whatever happened to the Ten Commandments? And in that book, he outlined the requirements of God, the duties that are required in this commandment. So we would need to take a whole sermon to go down these, but I'm going to list them and then move on to my second point. The duty of preserving and promoting truth and the good name of our neighbour. The duty to speak truth and only the truth in matters of judgment and justice. The duty to speak the truth at all times. The duty of rejoicing in the gifts and graces of others. The duty to receive a good report of others. The duty to discourage all tale-bearing flatterers and slanderers. The duty to keep lawful promises. The duty to study and practice everything true, noble and lovely and of good report. And then he gives all the scriptures to back up his statements. And it is a book that's worthwhile reading. This is the intention of God in this commandment. Secondly, we have the violation of this commandment. How do we break God's law? Right here in the ninth commandment. Well, the first and the simplest meaning of the commandment is concerning evidence that is given in courts of justice. The very word just that we have there in the word justice indicates the true function of these courts. They are tribunals for the execution of justice. Justice is based upon truth. And false testimony born is a violation of truth and produces a miscarriage of justice. And for this reason, therefore, perjury is made a criminal offence, and rightly so, because through perjury, other forms of crime go unpunished and the innocent are made to suffer. But the commandment goes much further than the simplest form. In what ways can we be guilty of bearing false witness? This command can be violated in many ways. I will mention a few just in a moment, but think about exaggerating the truth, putting a slant on a report, a half-truth, saying something that makes people wonder about the integrity of others, putting a question mark over someone's character, inventing false news, carrying stories, slandering a reputation, unnecessary reporting of real failures and faults, judging hastily, rash conclusions, imagining evil without concrete evidence. And you can do this. You can do this in your home, as you sit engaged in family conversation. You can do this among your friends. You can do this among the ungodly. What a sin this is, causing the ungodly to scorn and sneer at other believers. So let me mention to you ways in which this law is violated. First of all, slander. Most blatant form of the sin is that of slander, the lie invented and distributed with malicious intention. Perhaps no form of injury done by man to man is more despicable than this. The slander has been compared with a highwayman and an assassin. The highwayman robs a person of material things that have been gained and may be replaced. The assassin robs a person of their life, usually swiftly and suddenly and with little pain. But the slanderer robs a person of their reputation and their character. And it's very likely that that can be restored and regained. I'm sure most of you have heard the story of the unconverted woman who was guilty of slander and gossip all the time. She was known for that. But she got converted. And even though she was converted, she didn't seem to fully understand the awful sin that she'd been guilty of in her life. And so the pastor of the church asked her to do something, and she did it without questioning. And that was to take a bag of feathers and to go out into the city and just to scatter the feathers in all the streets. And then when she returned a few hours later, he said, "Now, I want you to go and pick them all up again." She said, "Well, that's impossible. The wind will have taken them and they will have blown into all kinds of places and I'll not be able to retrieve them all." And the minister said, "So is a slanderer and a gossiper. It begins to blow into places that can never be retrieved again." We should never seek to wound the character of another person. Not only slander, but tale-bearing. repeating some story without careful investigation. To pass on a report, it reflects upon the honour and the character of a person. Without the most careful inquiry, it is to violate this commandment. This is one of the most common forms of false witness, and the tale-bearer continually excuses the action by saying that there was no intention to deceive, and that they thought that the rumour was correct. This is no justification. It is wrong to speak of a neighbour in such a way that will do them harm. And so we need to be careful. Gossip is wrong. If we are genuinely concerned, we will not spread a story. We will do what the scripture tells us. We will go to the person. We'll talk to them. We'll seek to restore them. We'll help them. We'll pray for them and we'll pray with them. If we take any other course of action, we're breaking the ninth commandment. It is so true. If we're guilty of pointing the finger at some brother, in all likelihood, there's three pointing right back at ourselves. I often think of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7 and needn't go into it, but just read the opening verses of chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel. The opening five verses, in fact. They have much to teach us. Another way that we break this commandment is by creating a false impression. We can bear false witness against another when we create a false impression upon the mind of another person. Just a little hint, just a suggestion, or even a skillful asking of a question that casts a doubt upon a person's character and create a wrong impression about them. Stigma has been cast upon many a good reputation by such a question, have you heard of? And then you go on to say something, but you just stop there. And the person replies, no, I didn't hear about them. And then the person says, ah, well, the least said, the easier mended. And nothing else is said, and nothing else can be drawn out of the person who first began to say, have you heard about such and such a person? And the whole thing is left hung and dry, but an unfavorable impression has been created in that other person's mind. Without going on to give any detail, have you heard about them? It's creating a false impression. Another way in which the commandment can be broken is through silence. When someone utters a slanderous report or a false charge upon someone else in our presence, and we know it's incorrect, but for some personal reason, or maybe dislike of that person, or maybe even out of fear, we remain silent, and we are guilty thereby of breaking this commandment of God, just as guilty as the one who utters the slander in the first place, by our silence. Another way is by casting doubt upon a motive. There are those who show a deed of kindness, or they bestow some gift upon God's work or one of the Lord's servants, and that's called into question. Not because the deed or the gift was wrong in themselves, but because it is hinted that there was a reason for doing this. It was for selfish motives or some other kind of motive. And some remarks which are carelessly made to others only prove how prevalent the breaking of the ninth commandment really is. You know those kind of remarks that can be made. Oh yes, he knows what he's doing. He's just doing that to be seen by others. Look at that crawler. He's trying to buy favours and privileges from that person. The gift was only a sprat to catch a mackerel. He knows what side his bread is buttered on. And such comments are bearing false witness against our neighbour and casting aspersions on their character. So we need to be careful. Flattery is breaking this commandment. Flattery belongs to the same class of sin. To say to another man concerning him things that are not believed to be true, which indeed are known to be untrue, simply for the sake of pleasing that person and paying tribute to his vanity, is to purge the soul. In the same way, to utter unwarranted praise, to give a testimonial of a character, or to recommend a man simply out of friendship for him when we know that he's unworthy of that testimony borne, is to inflict injury upon the person to whom it is recommended. Perhaps there is no command in the Decalogue that is more often and unconsciously broken than the ninth commandment. And so we need to continually pray, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. One final matter to look at, and that is the application of this commandment. What do we learn? How do we apply the teaching of God concerning the ninth commandment to our own lives and hearts? Well, first of all, we are to be honest. Always speak the truth. Don't exaggerate it. Don't misrepresent it. Don't add to it. Don't twist it or distort it in a way, especially when we're speaking about another person. Think of the exhortation in Zechariah 8 and 16. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. These words are repeated by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. My dear friends, God hates lies. He hates lies. In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira died suddenly. Why did they die? Because they lied against God. We know that heaven is no place for liars. Revelation 21 and verse 8. They shall not enter in. Christians especially should remember that there are seven things in the sight of God that should never, never be found in the believer. What are these seven things? They are given to us by Solomon in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. He begins by saying, six things doth the Lord hate. Yes, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. You'll notice that three of these things, three of them, out of the seven, that God hates, that God detests, that God calls an abomination, are to do with our tongues. So we ought to be honest. We ought furthermore to guard the tongue, to employ it in the right way at all times. Over and over again, you will discover warnings from the Lord concerning the use of the tongue and how we are not to speak. Psalm 34, verse 13. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Whoso keepeth his tongue, his mouth and tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. Remember what the psalmist said. I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. We need to guard the tongue at the dinner table, in our conversation times with other Christians, when we meet with our friends, before the world. We need to guard our tongues. Refuse to speak evil. Don't let words of gossip, slander, unfair criticism cross your lips. Again, the word of God is clear. Ephesians 4, 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Titus 3, verses 1 and 2. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. James 4, verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. So be honest, guard your tongue, refuse to speak evil. Do not spread false rumors or spread unsubstantiated reports. Moses said, thou shalt not raise a false report. Think no evil. That's what Paul tells us about, that the true love is all about in 1 Corinthians in the chapter 13 and verse 5. Love thinketh no evil. It is a sin to have groundless suspicions. Discourage talebearing in others. We ourselves must not be guilty of such. But the word of God says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Leviticus 19 verse 16. We should try to persuade others not to carry stories or to be busybodies. Solomon says, the north wind driveth away the rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. And then the final thing that we ought to do is to pray. To pray every day about the need, our need, my need, to guard the tongue. Perhaps no better petition can be found than that which we have in the Psalm 141. And verse
3. Listen to the word of God just as we close. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. We need a barrier. We need a door. We need this kind of prayer. So, ninth commandment, given in 9 words in the English. May God help us to take heed to it. Thou shalt not bear a false witness against thy neighbor. Let us pray.